join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
You still have to come to church. Show of hands. Scott Stevens, yes, I believe that with all my heart. No, I'm totally joking. Hey, it's good to be here. Pastors Greg and Dina are on a mission in Sagu. It's their homecoming, Southwestern Assembly of God University. And so they are there from here through Sunday, through Saturday. They'll be back Sunday for church. So, but tonight you get the B team. So open up with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is where we are going to be parked all night long. Somebody say amen. How many of you love the Word of God? Amen. I want to give you a quick update. We've been hearing some questions around the church. Where are we with our building? And so we want to kind of give you a heads up of where we're at within the Calder Road project. Right now, we are waiting for permitting for the city. How many of you have ever been in the Army? Hurry up and wait. And so we are in the process of waiting with the city. There's a couple of construction documents that we are still continuing to need, so that once we get those in hand, we'll be able to go to our lending, our bank, our lender, whatever that you want to call them, and then we will start the process with the bank. And so we want to let you know where we're at. We are moving forward, and it's exciting. So I would ask, continue to pray. Continue to seek God and pray for favor. Pray for his blessing. Pray for the hand of God to move on our behalf. And in Jesus' name, amen? Let's go to the Word of God. Let's pray before we do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. God, your Word is powerful. It's living. It's active. God, it's able to give us direction, give us counsel. God, it illuminates our life. And Father, I pray that, God, for the next couple of minutes, you would illuminate, God, this portion of your Word, God, to our lives. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. All right, so here's the thing. Let me get my preacher voice on now. Did you like that? I was down here and then. Okay, let's rock and roll. How many of you love sounds? How many of you, you're married to someone that loves the quiet? My wife loves silence. Silence is deafening to me. I have to have background noise all the time. SportsCenter could be on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the background. And for me, that is music to my ears. I love sound. Even when I talk, I like sound coming from the piano. I like it behind me. I like to hear things behind me. How many of you love the guitar? Aaron, can I get you to help me for a second? I'm just seeing if this could continue. Can you hold that for me?
I'd love to.
Can I get a little sound? See, I love sound, right? These are the only chords I know how to play. But my voice sounds so much better with this sound, right? If I say, hey, my voice sounds so much better with this sound, it doesn't sound the same, right? It's like, boom, God in the midst. Right? And holy is the Lord. Anyways, you get it, right? There's a sound. Thanks, Aaron. You wanna like put it in there?
I'd love to.
You wanna stay up here with me?
I kind of.
Okay. I feel like I need, can you give me a bottle of water too? I'm joking. I'm totally joking. Y'all get it for Aaron? Okay. So here's the thing. Tonight, we're going to read this scripture. So how many of you are at 1 Thessalonians? How many of you just want me to read it? No, not yet. Okay. Because here's the thing. I'm going to ask a question. And through my life, I've learned that questions usually are more impactful than statements. Why? Good question. You answer it. How many of you know people that when you ask them a question, they ask it with another question? Anybody? Yeah. So here's the reason. I think and I believe, I've heard it said, that faith begins with a question. The reason a question is so impactful, because when you are asked a question, it makes you think. It makes you go beyond the surface. It makes you go deep into your heart to find the answers. And if you don't have it deep in your heart, you're going to find someone or something or somewhere to gravitate and go to find that answer. Are you following me? So here's the question for the night. It's according with 1 Thessalonians chapter 7. How many of you know that I can't really play and talk at the same time? Do y'all notice that? Some of the musicians are like, this is just painful. Thanks. Who said that? Appreciate it. Oh, Jesus. Just having a little group therapy right now. How many of you know the song? Sweet home. Oh, never mind. Here's the question for the night. What's your sound? That's the question that I want you to answer, and you won't be able to answer right now. Some of you may, but I believe if you are truly going to answer this question, it's going to take some research. It's going to take some, man, thought-provoking questions on your behalf. It's going to take some questions that you need to ask your significant other, maybe a family member, because truly, we really think we sound good. How many of you know that person that sings really loud like they can sing good? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? They, Lord, I lift your name on high. And they just blare. I mean, to them, they sound like the team up there, right? To them, man, I'm telling you, there was a, I'm not even going to say names. Y'all going to know who I'm talking about, so I'm not even going to go there. But how many of you have grown up in church your whole life? How many of you have ever been leading on stage, right? How many of you, even in leading on stage, there are those people in the crowd that catch your attention? And they almost throw you out of tune. So the question tonight is, what's your sound? See, this sounds good. It's a great guitar. Where's Julia in the house? Is Julia here? Great. How many of you just appreciate her heart? Julia, appreciate the sound that comes. But there's something about this guitar. If you twist these little knobs up here, oh, that kind of sounds cool. But let's sing, Holy is the Lord God. How many of you have heard that person in church? Mighty. It's painful. All right? Where's Aaron? No, I'm joking. It is painful to listen to people that sing off key. It's painful to listen to someone that plays off key, especially to those of us that have a trained ear for music, like myself. It's painful, right, Mr. Gonzalez? It's painful when someone's off. But here's the thing. What is the sound of your life? Each of us has a sound. Everybody, if you boil it down, has a theme to their life. Every preacher that you've ever heard, I promise you, has a theme. It doesn't matter how many series, how many topics, how many texts, every minister of the gospel usually gravitates around a central theme. It's the theme of their life. It's the song of their life. If I had a song for my life, it was the song back in the 90s that said this, I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down. And you never see, that was my song in high school. That portion of the song. I played football. We were part of the worst team in Santa Fe history. We got better over time. But I got hit a lot. And I'm telling you, my mom thought there were moments in my life where I was not going to get picked up. But I would remember that song, all right? I get knocked down, but I get up again. Never gonna keep me down. I'm just making sure you know it. There's a proverb that says, though the righteous fall seven times what? They get up. So I'm letting you in on the theme of my life. If you have been around my ministry, your kids have grown up in our youth ministry, I'm going to tell you that I've used that scripture at least 1,000 times. Joey, you were part of our youth leadership team. How many times did you hear me talk about, though the righteous fall, 7 times they what? They get up. See, there's a theme in my life. I've been knocked down over and over and over, but I'm telling you, I've had to get back up. There's a theme. There's a song that comes out of your life. There's a song that comes out of these people's lives in Thessalonica. All right, are we following? To the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Grace and peace to you. I love this. The Apostle Creed. It's like the Apostle greeting. Grace and peace to you. How many of you today could use some grace and some peace? Can I get amen? We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever read the love chapter? But these three things remain. What? Faith, hope, and love. I'll remember. We thank God. We remember your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. There is a sound that's coming from this church. There's a sound that's coming from these people in Thessalonica or Thessalonianola church. Are you following me? There is a sound that is being echoed by Paul the apostle. Now, Paul, you ought to understand, established this church back in Acts. Now, follow me to Acts. Acts chapter 17. The apostle Paul got a vision that he was supposed to go into Macedonia. And so this vision prompted, he saw this gentleman that said, come. And so God allowed him to move forward in this. He goes to Thessalonica, and when he had passed through, according to chapter 17, verse 1, through that word and the other word, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. Now follow me. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous. Say jealous. They didn't like the sound that was coming from this new sect. They didn't like the sound of this way. So they rounded up some bad characters. Look around you. Are there some bad characters? I see a couple right over there. They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out of the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, these men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into the house. They're all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus. When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown in a turmoil. They made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. So let me just say this. There is turmoil in this city. It is not easy to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus in this city. There is turmoil in this city. So when Paul, the apostle, is writing this letter to this church, understand that there is severe pressure in being a Christian. There is severe suffering in this part of the world for just being a Christian. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Are you there? Say amen. That means you didn't go with me to Acts. I'm joking. So in verse 4 it says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're chosen. Even you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. Now, let me just pause here for a moment and say this. If your conversion was only by mere words, then you'll be converted by mere words another direction. If your conversion was accompanied by words through power, ain't nobody can persuade you in a different way. There's nobody that can tell me that God ain't real. Because at my conversion, when I saw Christ on my Damascus Road experience, not only did I hear the words that came forth, but there was power behind those words, and there was a demonstration in my heart that said, this thing is real. It's going to change me. All the experiences I had in the past up to that point were mere words, but there was power that was accompanied in this moment with this word. How many of you have ever experienced the power of God? Did it change you, and did it change the way you sounded in your life? The first time you experienced the power of God, it changes the tune of your guitar. It changes the way you live life. It changes the way you sound in life. There's something very powerful about his power. Now, that's deep. But also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. How many of you have been at this church for over a year? How many of you would say there's deep conviction in this church? There's deep conviction. The Word of God is at the center Sorry. I'm a little flustered up here. You make me nervous. Everybody's looking at me. There's deep conviction in the Word of God. Pastor Greg, I've known him since 1998. I've worked for him since 2005. More than a boss, more than, he's my pastor. And the reason I continue to follow him is because there's deep conviction. The man that you see on Sunday morning is the man I see in the office, is the man I see on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's the man I always hear. So there's no difference. There's no change in who he is. There's deep conviction for the Word of God. And this is a letter that Paul is writing to these people. And I was reading it today, and I started thinking to myself, would Paul write this about me? Does my sound, does my life produce this sound that there is great praise from this apostle? So the question is, what's your sound? Keep that in the back of your mind. So verse 6, you became imitators of us and the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit in the middle of suffering, in the middle of turmoil, in the middle of imprisonment, in the middle of all this. You welcomed the Word of God through the Holy Spirit with great joy. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Their sound did not need sound waves. It didn't need a radio. It didn't need the internet. But their sound went everywhere because of their faith in God. There's something about their sound. Listen to what the word echo means. It says it's a sound that is copied of another sound and that is produced when sound waves bounce off a surface such as a wall. How many of you remember like doing echoes when you were a little kid? You just like, you scream, hello. I knew there was some out there. What are you doing? Follow me. How many of you ever been to the Grand Canyon and done it? Like you did that. How many of you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Three. Awesome. We were near it, but we didn't go. And that was a bad decision. We were at Fine Arts in Phoenix. And how many of you ever been in Fine Arts? Anybody ever been to Fine Arts? Any Fine Arts people in here? Whew, after a week of Fine Arts, you know what we want to do? We wanted to sleep and go home, okay? We didn't want to go to the Grand Canyon. It was a four-hour drive. But anyways, so this echo, something such as a feature or quality that repeats or resembles something else. It's something that is similar to something that happened or existed before. Now follow me. Verse 6 says, you became imitators of us and the Lord. What was this church doing? What were these individual people doing? They were echoing the sound of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They would see what they did. They would see how they spoke. They would see how they reasoned. Can you imagine seeing Paul in the Jewish synagogue? Can you imagine the intellect that he had and the persuasion that he came across? Boy, he knew the scriptures. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. And so can you imagine being a new convert going to the church and be like, that's my pastor right there. Look, that's the apostle. That's him. Can you imagine? And so they started watching his mannerism. They started watching what he said. They started imitating. How many of you have kids? How many of you remember the first time they imitated you with something that you did not want them to imitate you with? Your life has a sound. It comes out. I'm telling you. And kids, now that my boy's 8 years old, now that my girl's 6 years old, we can't get away with some of the stuff we get away with when they were 1 and 2. Remember the songs that we could listen to on the radio that they had no clue about. Now, I don't want to hear my daughter singing Katy Perry, right? Is there a sound that she has that's catchy? Yeah. But I really don't want my daughter singing those lyrics. Are you following me? I'd rather her sing some Carrie Job lyrics, right? Are you following me? Now, if she wants to sing that Taylor Swift song, what's the new one? Shake It Off. I taught her that one. Shake It Off, baby. Shake It Off. My brother hit me. I'm like, shake it off. Shake it off. No. Let's go shake him down. So here's the thing. They started imitating. They started echoing Paul, Silas. They started imitating how they lived. And only them, it says, and the Lord. So what it means is they were going into these times where they would open up the scripture and they would learn about Jesus, because Jesus wasn't around. Jesus had since gone back to be with the Father. And so he left his Holy Spirit in the apostles and to us and to believers. And so now we are echoing Jesus, what we learned from him, and now people are echoing the apostles. Remember in Corinthians when Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Echo my sound. The sound that I'm making, I want you to echo it. Hello. See, there is something about the sound of this church that makes the Apostle Paul just well up with joy. There's nothing greater as a parent than to see your kids just do good. And to see them, I'm telling you, I get prideful, very prideful, in a good way, when my son looks at me and says, yes, sir. There's something deep inside. That's sad, Clint, that you get that prideful. Well, it doesn't happen that often. But like in the morning times, any morning people in the house? Love mornings? All right. My daughter pipes up. Boom. She's dressed. She's ready. We don't have to go pick out her clothes. She has it, and she's color coordinated. She looks good. She's got a bow ready to go. Like, Mom, fix my hair. Put the bow in. My son. It's like, it's 7:15. We got to be out the door like 7:50. 7:15, still in bed. Like, get up, son. Yeah. You know, his hair is like nappy up beside his head. You know, he's got the sleep lines in. You know, his underwear all like jacked up and over his back and stuff. I'm like, buddy, just get up. Get in the bath. See, I was that way too. All right, so there is, you reap what you sow. That is so true. There is, because I can remember my stepdad coming into our room. My brother was worse than I was, but he'd come in like 4 times. Hey, get up. Get up. And he sang this song. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to rise. Y'all know it. I thought we were the only God-forsaken kids in the world at that moment. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope you're feeling fine. We were like, man, there was something inside of me that was just like turned. I want to kill. But I'm too tired to get up. So he'd leave, and we'd go back to sleep. 5 times he'd be in there. Dude, he'd get the water out. You know what I'm talking about? Any water people, water parents in the house? Yeah? Well, here's the thing. I'm just convinced that my son is never going to change. So pray for us. What did that have to do with tonight's lesson? Absolutely nothing. Because I lost my train of thought. Anybody with me? Can you help me? Morning people. Echo. Let's go back to the word. Say it again. Doesn't help. There's nothing in there. There's nothing going. So maybe my son's echoing me. Thank you. Reel it in. It's almost eight. It's okay. So here's the thing. This is it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise him. Can you turn the lights down a little bit? Let's dim the lights a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Your kids start to echo you. I'm bad in the morning. I'm still bad in the morning. My wife, she pops up, her little alarm kicks, and boom, she's up. And she looks at me, she's like, it's 6:30. I'm like, right? And then she comes back in, hey, it's 6:40. I'm like, and I notice, and this is irritating, what irritates my wife the most about me in the morning times, and I'll do better at night. Let me just fill you in on my wife, because she's in the back. She's doing nursery, so don't tell her. Dude, you don't mess with her at night, right? If you mess with her sleep, she will kill you. She will kill. Lupe. Security. Cut this guy. Thank you. Risk management team. Take him out. She will cut you. Like, we got a new cat, and that cat, like, jumped on her face. I thought the cat was dead. The cat was against the wall. I'm like, baby, it's okay. I'm joking. She didn't do that. Yet. But in the morning, I'm the same way. And so here's the thing. Macy's kind of that way at night. Boom. Sleep. Don't touch her. Don't mess with her. Because Peyton, he get it up and down out of his bed and like, Dad, it's too dark up here. How many scare the dark people in the house? Anybody? Yeah. I was that guy. And so I'm telling you, I was that person. I feel for my parents. I pray for them. I pray for them. God, man, forgive me for all those nights, those sleepless nights where I made my mom come walk in my room. Mom, can you stay in my room? Now, my wife at night, Mom, stay in my room. My mom, Peyton come and ask. Peyton asked Casey to come in the room. Shut the door. Mom, I need you. Shut the door. Whose side of the bed does he come to if he comes to our bedside? Mine. You know why? He's echoing me. He echoes me. It's crazy. It irritates the living snot out of me. But he echoes me. All my habits, all my things that I was growing up with, he echoes. Macy, yes, paybacks. Macy echoes her mom. She's fun. Hey, what's up? You know, she's good time. And I love being around her. Why? Because I like being around my wife. That's what drew me to her. But when Peyton comes in the room and we're like, you know, we're the same, we just like repel. Boy, get away from me. Like in the morning, both of us, we look at each other and we're like, I mean, you have bath time. Bath time at your house, shower time. You know, a girl, like, brrr, they're done. A boy, like in the shower. 10 minutes. I walk in. Hey, Peyton, did you wash your hair? No, you didn't. Soap's down there. It hadn't even been moved. Did you wash your body? No, you hadn't. I see the dirt right there on your back. You know what? I was the same way. I was the same exact way. Let me tell you something. If you don't know that your life is producing a sound, you do when you have kids. And the older they get, the more clearer your sound becomes. You follow me? It's scary. It's scary, but it's clear the older they get. Are you following me? The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia, and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, because the echo of their life is being echoed by others. It's a continuation of the sound that's coming from their life. It came from Paul. It came from Silas. It went into this church, and now it's getting out in the city and abroad. It's going everywhere. It's going global. Before the internet, before video, before all this, there was something in their life's sound that made a difference. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Now, let me just pause and do these two things. What were they talking about? Number one, they talked about the turn. They talked about their turn from idols to the true living God. They go Exodus 20 on them. Thou shalt have no other before me. There should be no other gods before me. If anything is before God in your life, it's an idol. Anything. It can be a great thing. It can be something that God gave you. It can be your husband. It can be your wife. It can be your kids. If anything be before God, it's an idol. There has to be this turn, because when we turn from idols and we trust and live for the true living God, people talk about it. It ain't natural. It ain't normal to follow the true living God. When we turn from these evil ways, and I'm telling you, we are living in a different time when pastors are being asked to give their notes. Oh, I got some response from that. There's different times. But I'm telling you, the sound of our church, and you're the church, the sound that you make, the sound of your life has to be one of turning from idols, turning from being idle, turning from being complacent, indifferent, sitting back, yeah, well, ain't my fight. Oh, yeah, it's your fight. This is our fight. This is our time. As a church, we have to make a sound. We have to collectively, individually, rise up and make a sound. And not that sound that came out of there at the end, but that sound that came in the beginning. There has to be a turn from idleness to living for the true and living God. And that conjunction puts these two things together. We must wait for his Son from heaven. All right, how many old folk do we have in the building? And I don't want your hands. But you heard about the blessed hope growing up. Anybody? Where's the blessed hope? Where is that? Where's that found in Scripture? Anybody? The book of? Starts with a T. I-T. Titus. The blessed hope. See, the early Christian was known for their patience in waiting for Jesus. It's what got them through suffering. It's what got them through the day. And so what happens is, in this culture, in this church society, I'm not saying Dominion Church, but I'm talking about in the 21st century church, we've kind of grown to this place of, you know what, it's probably not going to be during our reign anyways. It's probably going to be the next generation. It's probably going to be the next generation. It's probably going to be the next generation. Why? Because we've seen it over and over and over this century. And so when we hear the word soon in a biblical way, we're like, oh, that's thousands of years, right? And so what we do is we put our hope in our life here only. And we put our expectations in this life only, in this earth only. And if this earth does not equal to heaven, then we're upset. The early church was like, look, I don't care what this life looks like. I got my eyes fixed on heaven. I got my eyes fixed on Jesus because he's about to come back. And so it made them live a little bit different day in and day out. It didn't matter the suffering because they had their eyes fixed on heaven. And so when they say we had this thing, they started talking about how they turned from idols to the living God, and how they waited on the Son from heaven. If there's a sound that I want from my life, that I want my kids to echo, that I want my sphere of influence around me to echo, it's that I turn from idleness, that I serve the true and living God. And then I talked about heaven. And I talked about the blessed hope. And I think sometimes we wait, like at the end of our life, to really look at heaven. But if we were to collectively look at heaven right now in our 20s, how old are you, Noah? Oh, in our teens, in our 20s, in our 30s, in our 40s, in our 50s, in our 60s. I'm telling you, suffering would not have the effect as it does right now on us. And that's theory. We suffer, but we don't suffer like some of you suffer. So I say this in theory, but I'm telling you, with my son and all of his struggles, with my life, and I don't live in preacher land. I don't. There's no such thing as preacher land. There's no such thing as no suffering land. But here's my tendency. My sound, Julie, I'm sorry, I'll pay for that. If over time, not thinking about heaven, not thinking about and serving the living true God, my sound sounds like this. And I think that I sound a little bit different. But you know what it comes out? My kids start to echo my sound. My wife starts to tell me about my sound. And you know what? And this is for somebody. But I'm so thankful that my wife sees my blind spots. I'm so thankful that before I walk out the door, she's like, don't wear that. You know what I'm talking about? Angie, you know what I'm talking about? You tell Henry, don't wear that, baby. Dude, you got colorblind over the years. Let's go. Put that different shirt on. I'm so glad that in a serious way, my wife, now it hurts, okay? I'm not saying that when my wife, like, says, hey, this is the right, you know what my knee-jerk reaction is? I want to, like, lash out, like, uh-uh. But I'm so thankful that I'm learning how to understand my sound. And then here's the thing. And if I had some music, I would say, cue the music. But I don't. So I really don't care. This is the sound I want. This is what we have to do. And I wrote this in my notes. I'm actually going to use my notes for once. We got to go back to the well. What do I mean by that? Okay, in the beginning, he said this, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Your work, what was it produced by? Faith. They didn't just thank you for the work. Produced by faith. Your labor prompted by love. And your endurance inspired by good sound. Carrie Job, isn't it? I don't know. I just heard her name before. I never listened to her. I'm joking. I love Carrie Job. They went to the source of the work. They thanked their God in heaven for these that worked, that was produced by faith. The labor that was prompted by love and your endurance inspired by hope. Most of the time, a lot of the times, I work, I labor, and I have endurance. But it starts to sound a little bit different when my work is not produced by faith, when my labor is not prompted by love, and when my endurance is not inspired by hope. I sound out of tune. I still got the guitar. I still got it in my hands. I'm still playing the same instrument that I got back in 1998 when I gave my heart to the Lord. I'm still playing that sound. I'm still playing that song, that instrument, but it sounds different. And so what you have to do is you have to go back to the source. These apostles were praising God for the source of their life, which was Him. And so here's the question, what do you sound like? What do you sound like? Is this letter, could you say tonight, this letter truly is addressed to me? Truly, this letter. I was reading this all day for most of the day. Not all day, because I had some other stuff I had to do today. But I was in here in the sanctuary, and I was reading this, and I was like, God, retune my life. Retune it. I'm working. I'm laboring. I have endurance. But I have a bad sound. And I want my echo in my kids, my wife, my church family, and my sphere of influence to be a resounding sound of He has turned from idleness and serves the true living God. And His eyes are so fixed on heaven and Jesus that no matter what comes His way, no matter the suffering that He must endure, so tonight, before we go, we're 2 minutes over. I told Pastor I'd be a little late. He likes it when I'm late because I used to always be early. Before we go, if you need some prayer tonight to readjust your sound, then I want you in your heart, as we bow our heads, I want you to ask. The beautiful song that's playing in the background sounds good because it's in tune, it's in sync. The beautiful letter that was written by the Apostle Paul could take place because of their sound, because of their lives, because they turned and they allowed the Holy Spirit, though they were suffering, though there was ridicule, though there was turmoil, they allowed the Holy Spirit in joy to move them from the idols to the living God, and they moved them to a place where they hoped and expected Jesus in every day of their life. They woke up every day saying, this could be it, this could be it. Can you imagine? That's why it spread everywhere. Their sound spread everywhere. And tonight, Heavenly Father, I pray for our sound. Individually, you're here tonight and you need retuning, just real quick. Just put it up, put it back down. Yeah, I just need my sound. My voice has gotten a little off over the years. My strum has gotten a little off. Yeah, Father, God, you know our lives. God, produce in us a turning from idle hands, a turning from things that are before you, to putting you first and putting you at the center. God, tonight, Lord, may we fix our eyes upon you, author and finisher of our faith. God, may we put our eyes towards heaven tonight. And God, may our sound be different, even on the way home tonight. May the tone of our voice, may the countenance on our face, may everything, God, in us sound different before we step into that home. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Say amen if you got something tonight. Why don't you stand to your feet, and why don't you, on your way out, greet someone and sing right in their face. Ready, set, go.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org. Or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.